You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
We have been going through quite an interesting rate cycle with the South African Reserve Bank, and we are expecting to see rate cuts going into the rest of this year. But amidst all of this, there is quite an interesting paper that's been drafted by a number of independent economists that suggest that perhaps the South African Reserve Bank's restrictive monetary policy is something that could be contributing towards our low growth and the erosion of real value in terms of households. For more on this, I'm joined on the line by one of the independent economists that was part of co-authoring this paper. That is Dr. Roelof Botha, to take a look at his thoughts and get a sense of where we go to from here. Dr. Botha, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. Certainly an interesting viewpoint on the Monetary Policy Committee. Can you give us a sense perhaps of what brought the paper about, but more importantly, why you hold this view?
Well, if you deal with macroeconomics, as I have for the last five decades, then you pick up trends, I believe, a little bit quicker. And what me and some of my colleagues noticed is that there was a huge increase, a huge change, a decisive shift in the conduct of monetary policy since the departure of the previous governor, Jill Marcus. Ever since her retirement, The balanced approach towards the level of short-term interest rates, which is, to my mind, and I think most economists would agree with me, the most important single economic indicator in this country, because it affects directly and indirectly the spending power of businesses and individuals. And there has been a decisive shift. Just to give you an idea, the average real prime minus CPI, was 3.1% in 2014 when Jill Marcus was around. Shortly after her retirement, it went to an average of 5.1% in 2017, after the new MPC was appointed by Mr. Jacob Zuma, the state capturer par excellence. Then it went to 6% in 2019 and 8.3% real prime rate in March 2025. It was, I think, the third highest in the world. It was the highest level in 15 years, despite an absence of any sign of demand inflation. And this bothered us, that why had there been such a decisive shift in monetary policy when what went hand in hand with this decisive shift, of course, was a huge increase in unemployment. This country's problem is not high inflation. It has not been a problem. High inflation has not been a problem for the last two decades. Our problem is high unemployment. You do not create jobs if you have the highest interest rate in the world.
Dr. Botha, how then do we approach this situation? I mean, there's a recommendation and a suggestion that the Monetary Policy Committee in its structure at the moment be looked at and reviewed. What would that serve to achieve?
Well, I'll answer that in a second, but I just want to make one point, you know, clear. You know, the rate increase we had of 475 basis points in the prime rate via the repo between shortly after COVID and until they took this to a record in 2025, 2024, that if you apply that 475 basis points to total mortgage advances of South African banks of just below 2 trillion rand, it means that their additional debt cost burden was 91 billion rand. That money could have been spent in the economy. And I can almost guarantee you that our unemployment rate would have been lower. But what we realize is that these five or six, it's fascinating if you try to get the exact number from the Reserve Bank's publications. And they're not sure themselves. They say there's five members, but it can be seven. Now, I'm not sure to what extent they can co-opt people. But these are political appointments. And the question arises, do these five people really have what it takes? Do they understand business? Do they understand the demographics of South Africa? Do they have what it takes to take a decision on the most important indicator in the economy, which affects 62 million people? And our answer to that question was no, they don't. It would be to our advantage if one were to a more democratic approach towards monetary policy in this country by having inputs. And our suggestion was that you have obviously two people from the Reserve Bank, unfortunately, I have to add, but that would be necessary. Then two people from National Treasury, probably the Director General and the Chief Economist. And then you go to the relevant parliamentary standing committees, two nominees from there, two nominees from the financial services sector. It could be the Bankers Association of South Africa. Some of the large banks could maybe, you know, take turns in nominating people. And then two people from employed organizations like Business Unity South Africa or Consulting Engineer South Africa. And then two people from the trade union environment, from the key trade union South Africa. You have 12 members now of the Monetary Policy Committee. Each has the same waiting for a vote after their meetings. And the meetings do not have to be every second month. The meetings should only occur when it's necessary, when you see that we are not creating jobs at a fast enough pace. Then they should meet and have a look at what are the reasons. If one of the reasons is the fact that the cost of credit and the cost of capital is too high, then lower the interest rate. It's as easy as that.
Dr. Botha, alongside the conversations around potentially re-looking at the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee, do you believe we should be re-looking at their mandate as well as a central bank in terms of how it is that they would then be contributing towards the economy? Understanding, of course, that those challenges that you outlined are challenges we've had to contend with for quite some time as a country.
Yes. The mission of the Reserve Bank should remain intact. The dilemma that many economists in this country have been facing is the fact that they are interpreting their mandate and their mission statement only halfway. It says they only stick to trying to maintain price stability, but it goes further than that. And my friend from Investec, a well-known economist, has said on many occasions that it seems as if they're Ryan Cantor, as if they are forgetting about the second part. The second part, they must also conduct monetary policy in such a way that they further this country's growth and employment creation prospects. It is as if they have just erased that part. And that is really very frustrating. It's right for them to argue that, yes, but there are structural problems in the economy, you know, infrastructure, we haven't built enough, we're not repairing fast enough. The point is just that if they could lower rates, we will have more capital formation. We will have more private sector consumption expenditure, business formation. We will have a broader tax base. Because for every job that you create, you broaden the tax base. And then with a new approach towards public-private partnerships, maybe we can really get cracking on the structural side of things. But it doesn't help you if you've got these structural problems and you also have one of the highest cost of capital in the world.
A proposal for an expanded monetary policy committee could potentially be the difference maker in reigniting South Africa's economy if we are to look at it from that perspective. That is certainly the view of a paper that has been authored by some leading independent economists in South Africa, one of which just joined us on the line to discuss this. Dr. Roelof Botha, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Dr. Roelof Botha joining us to take a look at whether or not we should be rethinking our monetary policy committee.